The gospel reading this morning comes from the first chapter of Luke, and a portion of it, as you will hear at the second half, is what we refer to as the Magnificat. Listen for the word of God. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Here ends the gospel reading. Friends, before I share a word with you, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Counterculture. Counterculture is defined as, quote, a way of life and a set of attitudes opposed to or at variance with the prevailing social norm. I remember being at my church, First Congregational in Brantford, when the minister at that time, the Reverend Gary Smith, used counterculture to describe how we are called to live as followers of Jesus Christ. In his sermon, he referred to Christianity as a countercultural movement. Now, being more accustomed to hearing New England Congregationalists described as God's frozen chosen, I had a difficult time imagining myself as part of a countercultural movement. In my mind, all I could picture were hippies from the 60s. That, to me, was counterculture. Now, I share this with you this morning because as I was preparing my remarks, this sermon this week, several of the commentaries that I read used the word revolutionary to describe Mary's song, the Magnificat. Christianity as countercultural is one thing. The Magnificat as revolutionary? I had to think on that one. When faced with a new way of understanding something which makes me bristle or makes me feel the least bit uncomfortable, which I will say Magnificat and revolutionary did, I take it as God inviting me to lean into those feelings. Now, whether you heard the Magnificat is revolutionary and immediately thought to yourself, yes, it is, or thought to yourself, that makes me a little uncomfortable, I encourage you to lean in to whatever you're feeling and join me in a little exploration of the Magnificat. Revolutionary. Involving or causing a complete or dramatic change. Revolutionary. Not the first word that typically comes to mind, certainly not mine, when we hear the words of the Magnificat during the Christmas season. Lulled or even mesmerized by the beauty and smoothness of the poetry, we might fail to perceive what others have. That the song being sung has countercultural and revolutionary overtones. More on that in a moment. First, a few facts about the Magnificat that you may not be aware of. First is that the Magnificat has been part of the church's liturgy since the earliest days. For centuries, members of religious orders have recited or sung these words on a daily basis. It is the longest set of words spoken by a woman in the New Testament. It is also the first Christmas carol ever composed. And part of Mary's Magnificat echo the song of Hannah, which is found in 1 Samuel. Now, none of these facts, however, either point to or affirm the claim that Mary's song is revolutionary. So let's add to that the opinions of scholars and theologians, because they do have their opinions. One in particular is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis. Bonhoeffer called the Magnificat, quote, the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. The English theologian Barclay says that the Magnificat is, quote, a bombshell. And Barclay goes on to say that people who have read it so often that they have forgotten its, quote, revolutionary terror. It takes, quote, the standards of the world and turns them upside down. And of course, the seminal figure in the Reformation, Martin Luther, said that the Magnificat, quote, comforts the lowly and terrifies the rich. Even taking that all in account, there was one fact that in my research absolutely surprised me. And it is this. In the past century, there were at least 3 separate instances of governments banning the public recitation of the Magnificat. Banning the Magnificat. Its message, they feared, was too subversive. The first instance was during the British rule of India, where the Magnificat was prohibited from being sung in church. The second time was in the 1980s, when Guatemala's government found Mary's words about God's preferential love for the poor to be too dangerous and revolutionary. Apparently, the song had been creating quite the stir amongst Guatemala's impoverished masses. The words of the Magnificat were inspiring the Guatemalan poor to believe that change was indeed possible. Thus, their government banned any public recitation of Mary's words. Similarly, in Argentina, after the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo, whose children all disappeared during the Dirty War, placed the Magnificat's words on posters throughout the Capitol Plaza, The military junta of Argentina outlawed any public display of Mary's song. So much for the characterization of Mary as meek and mild, and her song as just another song of praise. Revolutionary. I have been thinking about this all week. Revolution means total change. Think Industrial Revolution. Yale grad Eli Whitney and the cotton gin. What people had done by hand, picking and separating cotton, now accomplished with a machine. If you all were to take a ride up 95 and visit New Britain Industrial Museum, you could learn about the impact that machines have had on society. And think about computer revolution and the information industry. I mean, did we ever think that this little device, our phones, would be able to do so much? I can work from just about anywhere, including a traffic jam on 95, with just this phone. Revolution and revolutionary, totally changed. Mary's elegantly exuberant prayer, the Magnificat, is a spontaneous outburst in song that echoes Hannah's praise for God's marvelous deeds in the lives of all who are marginalized or downtrodden. Like Hannah, Mary sings out of her own experience, her own hope, and out of the experience and hope of her people as well. And perhaps we can understand the deep, desperate hope of this young woman if we look more closely at her circumstances and setting. Mary was coming of age in the time of Herod the Great. Author Reverend John Ortberg describes the burdensome taxes of Herod's reign that built the temple and supported Herod's lifestyle as, quote, having cost the poor their land and concentrated wealth at the very top, leaving the masses impoverished. Ortberg goes on to write that, quote, Herod was so brutal and so unpopular that he knew people would celebrate when he died. So he supposedly had 70 elite Jewish citizens imprisoned with orders that they be executed on the day of his death, ensuring that there would be tears in Israel. When Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem, they will be 3 miles away from Herod the Great's majestic palatial resort, which was known as Herodium. It was and still is an impossible sight to miss from any part of Bethlehem, built atop a man-made mountain nearly 2,500 feet high. Herodium was the largest palatial complex in the Roman world at that time. It is in that context that Mary sings about God lifting up the lowly and filling the hungry with good things. And her song wasn't just about a "My God is stronger than your God" song. It wasn't a call to violent uprising or bloody vengeance either then or now, even though it was and has been seen as subversive. And as I said a moment ago, banned at least 3 times in the last century. The Magnificat truly is a lovely expression of joy at the fulfillment of God's promises kept, as well as a celebration of the coming of God's kingdom through the birth of a child. God remembers the people of Israel and the promises God has made to them. And though it is called Mary's song, I'm coming to understand it to be about God's revolution as well. For the Magnificat is the charter, the document, the constitution, the Magna Carta of God's revolution. And in the Magnificat, God sings through Mary and offers a vision of God's kingdom and the way that the order of things will be changed, turned upside down. God's kingdom is in many ways counter to the way we think and the way we act and the way we live. And the Magnificat clearly tells us of God's compassion for those on the margin and invites us to open the door of our heart so that God's Spirit can find a home inside of us. For when we embrace the revolutionary love of the Spirit, our hearts and minds are turned upside down. And we too have a renewed compassion and action for those who society often does not see. Now, I know you may be sitting there thinking that you don't fancy yourself as a revolutionary or as being part of a countercultural movement. But I have to say to Cece, when I learned about the regional youth ministry program that's coming from this place, the support surprise that's being provided through the moms group, and that Coffee for Good is located in Mead House. Friends, the Spirit is at work in this place, is at work in each of you. And you may not think that what you are doing is revolutionary, but let me assure you, you are. For those whose lives you are touching, having a positive impact on in ways big and small, you are changing their lives. That is revolutionary. Our reading this morning began with the person that God chose to be the mother of Jesus, a teenaged girl from a fourth world country with dark skin and brown eyes. A servant girl. God chose a servant girl to be the mother of our Lord and our Savior. And I wonder if that wasn't the first step in God's revolution, choosing Mary. And this inexperienced and sheltered girl sings about God's blessing in her life and about God's vision of a world made right. In her sermon on this text, the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Perhaps Mary got carried away. She is no longer singing the song. The song is singing her. And this teenager is transformed into an articulate radical, an astonished prophet singing about a world in which the last have become first and the first last." The Reverend Edward Marquette speaks a word of caution in his sermon on the Magnificat. He writes, "The Magnificat is revolutionary stuff. Don't get caught up in the poetry. Don't get caught up in the music. Don't get caught up in the creative interpretations that allow you to water down or dismiss the Magnificat." But he also offers a word of encouragement that I echo here. Let the revolution begin in your life. This is God's revolution in our hearts. God's value is to respect the poor, and to feed those who are hungry, and to lift up the lowly. The question I have for all of us this morning is this: how is God's revolution occurring in your heart, in your life? Let us pray. God, who sings in our hearts, as the flute needs openness to receive the breath of melody, We pray to be open to the many ways that your symphony of love plays in our lives. And so we pray, breathe through us, music maker, and let your song weave a melody through all we are and do. May we acknowledge your power at work in us and open ourselves to this blessing. Amen.